This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
This is World Wide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show, taking you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight we're heading to the sunny shores of Mozambique in the southeast of Africa. What is preventing Mozambique's only LGBT organisation from being recognised? As one of the more progressive African states in LGBT rights, what is it like being a gay person in Mozambique? And living next door to Zimbabwe with its harsh anti-gay laws, what impact does this have? To understand gay life in Mozambique, tonight we're speaking to Danilo da Silva and Frank Liliza from Lambda. Lambda is Mozambique's only LGBT organisation. And kicking off tonight with our worldwide wrap, your LGBT news and current affairs wrap-up from around the world this week. Staying in Africa, kicking off with Uganda. Lots of news coming out of Uganda this week. Firstly, an anti-gay Ugandan religious council has had to sack all of their staff after USAID withdrew its funding.
Yeah, look, there's a bit of schadenfreude involved here, but we actually have some kind of good gay news from Uganda, as shocking as that may seem. So there was, because of their draconian legislation, which we've been talking about on World Wide Wave for quite some time now, Matt, with various...
Indeed.
Yeah, so, you know, anti-sodomy laws and things like that that have happened. The European Union and the United States government has taken their funding away. So USAID has stripped the group of 89.6 billion Ugandan shillings. Can you believe they actually
use
shillings?
I think that's 4 Australian dollars. But
possibly. Yeah. But maybe a bit more than that.
Actually, 34.5 million US.
Yes, and it's caused the group to lay off all its staff. Now, basically, they also even took back 9 pickup trucks it had loaned to the group, with some of those already given to other organisations working in Ugandan groups, including local hospitals. Now, before you say, but what about all those poor people who need the aid? The money had been provided to the group as part of USAID's 5-year HIV AIDS support program, which saw 70,000 people supported with palliative care, 40,000 people on antiretroviral medication, and 45,000 orphaned or vulnerable children given support. But none of those people will lose support because of the funding withdrawal from the Interreligious Council, as the funds have been given to other organisations in Uganda to carry out the work.
So this is really Obama's, and we've seen this before, Obama's use of foreign policy to influence LGBT rights around the world. So the money is going elsewhere to deliver services, but because the Interreligious Council has such an anti-gay stance and has been supportive of Minerva's laws, anti-gay laws, they've said, well, we're not going to give you dollars.
It's safe to say, though, there has been much wailing and gnashing of teeth from the Interreligious Council. So basically they are cross, and they have said that they are not going to, basically, the quote unquote, they want to isolate us because they think by withdrawing funding we'll be hit hard and we will succumb to their pressures. So,
but now there is one religious guy who's not quite as cross and not as much gnashing. Ugandan Archbishop John Baptiste Odama he is the bishop of a church in Gulu, has reminded Ugandans that homosexuals are also human beings.
Yes, when I saw this headline, for a moment I was like, wait, Uganda? You know, but basically the quote, don't harm gays, they're God's creatures. So John Baptist Odama, the bishop of the church in Gulu, has reminded people that, you know, Christianity doesn't just mean, you know, public stonings and lashings and things like that for LGBTI people.
Now, I want to throw this out to our listeners. So, foreign aid, Australia is one of the countries around the world. We've got a bit of cash. We give a lot of money to countries around the world. should that be tied to the principles of our country, in particular LGBT rights? If we are talking about, and I'll give one of our closest neighbours a bit of a razz here, Papua New Guinea, which is not at all progressive in the area of LGBT issues, yet we give money hand over foot, is that right? Should we separate this from our own needs, or should we be instilling, like the Americans have done in Uganda, a need to have some degree of balance in terms of discrimination? Across to America now, where a gay person is twice as likely to support same-sex marriage. This is not an outstanding poll result, I don't think. I would have thought gay people would be fairly supportive of gay marriage. But do we really need to poll gay people on whether they support gay marriage?
Well, it's more about Americans who know a gay person are twice as likely to support same-sex marriage. So basically, if you think that gay people spend their days, I don't know, brewing poisons in their basement or something, stirring cauldrons or something, then you don't actually know.
Just bathed on the beach with, you know, oil on our back.
Probably just as bad to these people. But if you don't really know any LGBTI people, then you're not as likely to support same-sex marriage. Anyway, they've done a quite decent-sized poll, and they've found that those who know someone who's gay and support same-sex marriage, they support it by 61 to 31%, and those who say they don't know anyone who's gay oppose same-sex marriage by 57 to 36%, allowing for variables. It also found, and I thought this was interesting, Republicans oppose same-sex marriage by better than 2 to 1, while those supposed libertarians, Tea Party supporters, oppose it by nearly 3 to 1.
Who'd have thunk it? Thought.
Gasping in shock.
Heading over to Europe now, Italy, a gossip magazine is under fire for giving away a homophobic joke book. Yes, you've gone down to the news agency, picked up your magazine. It's got a bonus book in it, and you think, oh, how exciting. Wonder if it's got a sealed section. No, it's got a book of homophobic jokes.
Complete with effeminate young gay men, sort of hands on hips, sort of. On the
they
cover.
Were bad jokes, too.
It was very 1970s.
You know what the publishers
very
responded?
Benny Hill.
The publishers responded they did not apologise for the inclusion of the book, stressing that the book was a part of a series which included sexist and anti-Semitic jokes.
Oh.
We're out to have a go at everyone, pretty much.
Well, that's all right then.
Oh, dear. Some good news from Argentina. The Argentina Football Association has pledged its support to a gay football squad. The last bastion, perhaps, last bastion of homophobia is starting to change, and it's taken Argentina, a football-mad and very Catholic country, to take the leap and say, hey, we support gay football. Hmm. Mind you, they're a little bit behind Australia in that one. That is an area where we have progressed ahead of more of the rest of the world. A big shout-out to our friends in Nepal. We've done a few interviews with Nepal, which you can hear on the website, joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Nepal has celebrated its Pride Parade this week, and it's a very significant event and very significant need to have a profile, because the country is actually mulling anti-gay laws. So they have homosexuality is legal, and they have been fairly progressive in this area, but there is currently a mood in the country for the government to reject that and bring in anti-gay laws. And we're going to finish off a little closer to home
with a good news story.
Yay.
And of course it's New Zealand stealing our thunder again.
Not only
are they coming over to Australia and stealing our women and taking our jobs, but they are taking our Australians who are going over there to get married.
They are. 237 Aussie same-sex couples have so far gone across the Dutch to get married.
Oh, please send your complaints about ghastly racist New Zealand accents to onair@joy.org.au.
You're on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9, taking you around the world. Stick around, we're off to Mozambique.
This is Eve from Cameroon on Joy 94.9.
Now, we've got a couple of guests with us in the studio tonight. We've got Paul and Guillaume. Paul, first of all, you've just finished the Taste of Radio course here at Joy.
That is correct, yes. I've just finished my Taste of Radio, which is 10 weeks, 3 hours. And I actually should be doing a live show, planning to do a live show this Saturday.
Any nerves?
A lot of nerves, that's why I'm here.
Hence we put you on the radio.
Yes.
So, yeah.
my first time live on air.
Excellent. Welcome to the family.
But won't Thank be you. The last, no doubt.
That's right. Guillaume.
Hi.
You are from France?
Yeah, I'm French, yeah.
You're French? But you've studied radio.
I studied radio and I work for French radio.
French radio. How does Joy compare to French radio? Remembering we're community radio here.
Well, it's very different from community radio France.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's very it's very professional and everything. And in community radio in France are more student things.
Now, we did a show on the world of gay radio for Radiothon this year. There's actually only 3 countries in the world that have a gay radio station, full-time gay radio station.
Yeah,
but you're not one of them.
No, we don't. We don't
You've got same-sex marriage and you haven't got a gay radio station. What's going on?
Well,
why Guillaume's here.
Yeah, so that's exactly.
So he can go back and fix this anomaly.
Exactly.
You are on World Wide Wave. It's a show that takes you around the globe at one country at a time. And tonight we are in Mozambique.
Population 23 million.
Ooh, just off the top
of
your
head.
Just
Australia.
A bit smaller though.
Yeah, it's sort
smaller.
Of near Madagascar, you know, where lemurs come from.
Yeah, next to Zimbabwe, southeast corner of Africa.
Swaziland, South Africa,
Same-sex sexual activity. Now, a lot of Africa, same-sex sexual activity is illegal. Mozambique, it's ambiguous. What does that mean? There's no law that explicitly is against homosexual sex, but there's no law that says it's legal either. So it's kind of hanging out there and
don't ask, don't tell.
Mm. Yeah, on a country scale, very true. There are some laws within the country that talk, penal codes, the offence of practices against nature, but then there's no definition of what that is. So it's kind of open a bit, and if we want to use that law, we'll use it, and if we don't, we won't, see where it goes.
Just in case it comes in handy, we'll just bring it in the future.
But one of the areas that Mozambique is well ahead of most of Africa is that they have some anti-discrimination laws. So there's lots to be said that is positive within the area. In fact, one of only 3 countries that specifically offers discrimination protections for gays, lesbians and bisexuals. They came in place in 2007.
Well, I mean, protests for such legislation have been kickstarted only a year before, signalling a reasonably swift response by the government. So, although there's no form of recognition of same-sex relationships, although protests are ongoing, let's live in hope.
It is important to note the context in Mozambique. Half the population lives below the poverty line.
And 11.5% of people are HIV positive.
But here's an interesting thing. That's a fairly, it's a high HIV rate compared to most countries, not so much so in Africa. But men who have sex with men, infection rates are actually relatively low compared to other sub-Saharan countries. So they're actually managing the epidemic within key populations quite well, and probably due to things like the international aid that the US is putting in, but diverting away from religious groups at the moment.
I kind of wonder if it has something to do with the fact that southern African countries seem to be, with the exception of Swaziland, seem to be a little bit more progressive than, say, northern African countries. I wonder if there's some reason for that. Who can say?
I think there's a lot of influence. South Africa has a lot of influence, and Mandela was also a great advocate, particularly in addressing HIV and coming up with a national strategy. So anybody that was pretty close by, maybe with the exception of Zimbabwe, was probably a little more progressive than the further away you get to that, and the closer you get to the Middle East, the more challenges seem to come in.
Well, Mozambique was originally colonised by the Portuguese about 500 years ago, and Portuguese is their official language, although there's about 12 other languages that most people speak.
And one of them is English, thank goodness, because we did an interview. Portuguese is not good.
I know. I can barely say Portuguese. And pretty much Portuguese is actually the second language for most people in the country. So that's we think Australia's confusing. Oh, there you go.
There is some public opinion in support of, again, this is another difference, a survey conducted in 2013. In the larger cities found there were moderate levels of support for the recognition of same-sex couples, including parenting rights. So that is quite a step ahead.
Ah, but look, who's that coming over the hill? Prominent religious leaders of both Christianity and Islam who have been outspoken in their denial of LGBTI rights. However, anecdotal evidence suggests that within many faiths, LGBTI individuals have been able to find community recognition and acceptance, which kind of ties into with what we were saying before, Matt, about people being a little bit more friendly towards us when they actually know one of us.
And we're going to find out a bit more about that with our guest tonight. We have spoken earlier this evening to Danilo da Silva and Frank Liliza from Lambda, Mozambique's only LGBT organisation, and we'll be speaking with them coming up.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy, and lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9.
You're on the Worldwide Wave, taking you around the world, where tonight, of course, we're in Mozambique, and we had the pleasure of speaking with the only LGBT organisation in Mozambique. Its name is Lambda, and we spoke to the chief executive there, Danilo da Silva, and we started by asking Danilo to tell us a bit about Lambda and what the organisation does.
Okay, Lambda is the LGBTI organization here in Mozambique. We advocate for promotion of LGBT rights in Mozambique. We also have awareness programs. We have health promotion programs for gay men, men have sex with men, and lesbian women. But our core interventions, it's more the rate of awareness on issues about discrimination and stigma.
You've been fighting for recognition from the government to recognize your organization. How is that progressing?
We've been for almost 7 years fighting for legal recognition, but we have submitted our papers, as is the procedure here in Mozambique. You have to submit the papers to the government, and you only need 10 members to do so. We have submitted those papers, but the government haven't yet said anything regarding the registration. In 2010, the country went to the UN during the Universal Periodic Review, and the government said that there was no impediment to register the organization, since homosexuality is not legal in Mozambique. But since then, there has been silence on it. We've had several meetings, even with the higher offices here in Mozambique. They can't tell anything concrete, anything based on the law. It's something very vague, telling that the issue is very, it's very delicate, and they are not in position of neither saying yes, neither saying no. But they can't say no, because there is nothing in the law that would prevent an organization that advocates for LGBT rights to be registered in country. There are several human rights organizations in Mozambique, and some of them also advocate for inclusion and non-discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. It seems that the problem is with the gays and the lesbians, and it's not, as I said, it's not very concrete. They don't have anything to say based on the law.
We read recently that the former president, Giacomo Chissano, spoke out against anti-gay laws in Africa. Has that helped to raise the profile for your fight as well?
I wouldn't say that yes, but actually we really appreciate the stand of Mr. Chissano on the issue, but it seems that in country that has not been the case. I'll say it's very easy when you are addressing an international platform, but in country you haven't seen Mr. Chissano being very open on the issue. And I don't think for him it's easy, because, the situation here is actually social stigma, and Mr. Chissano is a politician.
And how do you hope to address the social stigma? How do you hope to make change?
As I said previously, we have several interventions to raise awareness on stigma and discrimination. And we have radio shows. We have radio shows in three cities here in Mozambique. It's called Paco Coffee, where we address issues like stigma and family, like health issues, like how to deal with discrimination in the public spaces. And actually, it's a very nice program. We also have our own supplement in the newspaper, where we post articles and trying to educate and sensitize the general public. We also we create spaces for debate in universities. We create spaces for debate in other civil society organizations. And we have activists and people who sometimes are invited and talk to community leaders on issues regarding sexual orientation and gender identity.
And that's the voice of Danilo da Silva from Lambda, Mozambique's only LGBT organisation. They've had quite a battle there to get themselves registered. And perhaps in Australia we don't sort of appreciate as much of what this means. So registration in the Mozambique context entitles them to all sorts of benefits, from taxation to just credibility when they're dealing with organisations to get funding and grants and international bodies and things like that. So it's actually a really big, important step that they've been trying to take for, 7 years?
Legitimacy. That's essentially what they're looking for.
Yeah, good way of looking at it. So they had their Universal Periodic Review. We had Paula Gerber from Kaleidoscope on a couple of weeks ago. She was talking to us about this process whereby the UN every 5 years comes in and reviews a country, gives updates on what's happening in the country. The process they've gone through, the review actually came out and criticised the government for failing to recognise Lambda as a legal NGO. That normally has a lot of weight, but still there doesn't appear to be change in Mozambique. In fact, stony silence from the government on that
one. A bit like the government in Australia when the UN and other organisations have asked us to maybe make a few little adjustments, and our response is
things like shan't. Refugee policy and things like that.
That's it. And foot stamping ensues. That's it.
Some good news there. The former president speaking out and speaking more broadly than Mozambique. He's actually talking about other places in Africa. Is that a bit of a safe sell, do you think?
Well,
everybody else is doing a bad job, we're doing okay?
It's a bit of a poke in the eye to his neighbours, which is probably warranted. I mean, they are next to Swaziland. However,
And Zimbabwe,
which, again, not another Uganda-esque country. Although my comment was, it surprises me a little bit. Or actually, it doesn't surprise me that he waited until he was the former leader to make these comments.
So you think he perhaps wouldn't have done that too risky to do it in power?
When people are waiting at the ballot box, I think they tend to be as mainstream and harmless as possible.
What about the grandfather effect of the former leader that everybody loves because they've forgotten all the bad things? You don't think that would carry some weight?
I think it depends on how
If John Howard came out and changed his mind on same-sex marriage?
Well, I think that would probably... With John Howard, I suspect with former Prime Minister Howard, it would alienate his rusted-on supporters, and I'm not sure if it would really endear him to the people who didn't admire him when he was our Prime Minister.
Okay, so what if it was Julia Gillard?
Well, again, I don't know if it would change
any
minds.
Maybe we don't need them to speak out here.
Australia is a separate case, shall we say.
Maybe. We are talking Mozambique on World Wide Wave. Now, you can also keep up to date with all the news from around the world throughout the week. We have a Facebook page, which is World Wide Wave, or W3Joy on Facebook. And if you like us, which obviously do, but if you actually go on and press the like button, we will send you a feed of international news stories throughout the week. So you can, be swanning around to your friends and going to dinner parties and saying, I heard this happened, and those sorts of things.
And it's not all bad news.
We do actually look for good news too.
We do. And it can take a while. We have to put a bit of effort in, but we do. We managed to find the occasional good news story, like New Zealand. Bless you, New Zealand.
Yes. Actually, they are. Look, they punch above their weight, don't they, Kiwis?
Mm, we very do much like them. So. We do.
This is Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament and co-president of the Parliament's LGBT intergroup on the World Wide Wave.
Been speaking with Lambda. Lambda is Mozambique's only LGBT organisation, not officially recognised, as we've found, but they're certainly fighting for it. We wanted to speak to an average gay, guy in Mozambique.
We would never call them that, though.
No. I'm sure he's completely above average.
I'm sure you've been selected because you're so average.
That's not what I was saying, but Frank, we spoke to Frank Leliza. He also does some work with Lambda, and we wanted to ask him a bit about his story, and started by asking about his coming out story. Frank, can you tell us a little bit about your own coming out story? I believe you knew you were gay when you were five.
Yeah, when I was five. Yeah, I knew that I was five, that I was gay, because I feel something different on me. Like, I saw other boys, I saw my cousins, I saw my friends from neighbors, and I feel something like, okay, I'm different. And I think I when I was five, I feel like, oh my God, it's me. I like things that my sister does like. I don't like things that my brother likes. Why am I still different? Why? What this thing happened to me? Why?
How did your family react to that?
My mom knew from the beginning that I was like, I was something, but she didn't know. So she got help. She got, a shrink. And my mom took me to the psychologist when I was 8. And the psychologist talked to my mother. My mother talked to me that, hey, I knew that you are different, but I want to know how you are different and how, is there something that I have to do? Is there something I have to treat or something like that? And the psychologist says, no, it's just homosexual. It's nothing to treat, nothing to do.
What is life like as a gay man in Mozambique? Are there clubs in Maputo? Are there? How do you socialize with other gay people?
No, there are socialized with the gay people. We have Lambda in four provinces in Mozambique. So we do a lot of connection. We are very together. We need to fight about our rights. We have to know about our rights. I knew that I had to do something to change this reality in Mozambique. It's very sad.
And Frank, what do you hope for the future in terms of LGBT people in Mozambique?
In the future, I really hope, and we were fighting a lot to get more people involved with this gay rights in Mozambique. We have to know our rights from the beginning. People have to know about their rights, about our right of living, our right of getting health, our right of socialize with people, our right of associate with people. So we have to show the government that we are not a group. We are part of our population in Mozambique.
Frank from Lambda in Mozambique. Thanks for joining us on the World Wide Wave. And a big thank you to Lambda for speaking to us earlier tonight, giving us a bit of an insight into gay life in Mozambique. Not too much. We sort of talked earlier about there being good news stories in that there's not much prejudice, but equally there's not as much in the area of social support going on. So a few difficulties there, and that heightens, if you like, the need for an organisation like Lambda. To be able to facilitate people coming together. And, you know, Frank was really talking about this need for some rights, some recognition, some support.
Absolutely. And changes to the law ultimately as well, because one thing we have learnt, even though we could be considered to be somewhat biased, the laws in many countries in Africa are certainly not conducive to assisting minorities or preventing the spread of HIV.
Yeah, we didn't really. We touched briefly on HIV before, and Lambda has some HIV programs mainly in the education area, so preventative. But there is as we know from the AIDS 2014 conference, which was held here in Melbourne last month, the effort that is, the trends are going in the right way in terms of HIV, but the numbers in Africa are just frightening. So even if we get to a point where we are preventing new infections, it's still maintaining the population and maintaining the health care to people who are affected by HIV and AIDS.
Oddly, demonising the LGBTI community doesn't seem to be doing anything to prevent the spread of HIV.
Strangely enough, really persecuting what they're calling key populations, populations which have a heightened risk. The countries that seem to deal well are the ones who actually have programs in place and who talk the talk of those particular communities, be it men who have sex with men, sex workers, the like, whereas there's the countries that don't do well aren't the ones putting in place things that help sex workers. And don't forget that within Africa, the biggest section of the population that has HIV is, in fact, women. And one of the key transmissions is from women to children, which is something that UNAIDS has been very much working to combat in Africa.
Well, one of the good things about Mozambique is that compared to some other parts of Africa, it is something of a success story, and it does seem like there's some chance of things changing in the future.
There's definite hope. Just speaking to both Frank and Danilo, they're definitely upbeat, definitely hopeful. And they've got some support from an Aussie, so we're going to do a shout-out because the interview from tonight came to us via a former World Wide Wave member, Christine. So, Chris, thanks for teeing this one up, and we hope you're enjoying your stay across in Africa. And we look forward to more leads so that we can cover more of Africa. There is just so much to cover.
Mozambique every week.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
It has been joyful being in Mozambique. A big thank you and shout out to our guests tonight from Lambda in Mozambique, Danilo da Silva and Frank Laliza, and to Christine who helped us put that together. Now, our studio guests, Guillaume and Paul, you've survived your first show here at Joy. What are your thoughts, Paul?
I thought it was... I enjoyed it a lot.
Have you learned something?
I learned something, and also got some insight on panelling and doing a radio show, which is why I was here.
And Guillaume, coming from France, did you think you'd be learning about Mozambique in Australia?
No, but it was actually really interesting.
Excellent. We've loved having you here, and we hope you'll come back and stick around, Joy. We've got another big show coming up next week. Squirrel's back with us. We're talking China. We've had lots of messages on Facebook throughout the week as well to Alex, Greg and Joe. They've all joined or interacted with us on Facebook, which is World Wide Wave. Search us, like us, and we'll keep feeding you lots of information from the LGBT world.
And thank you to Gordon at the front desk for taking calls.
Thanks, Gordon.
What would we do without you?
Indeed. We'll catch you next week. That's on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.